Blog Talk Radio.
That is our prayer, that the Lord will feed us with the bread of heaven until we want no more. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you have your Bibles ready. I hope your outline is printed. And we're going to be talking about half-baked Christians, half-baked churches. Our scripture reading is Ephraim. He hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Hosea 7:8, read from the King James Version. O Lord, again we come, for we hunger for truth. We want your word. Not just your word so we can fill our heads with information, but your word so that we can live a life pleasing in your sight. Lord, we don't want to be half-baked. We don't want to be a cake not turned. Help us, Lord. Speak to us just to maintain our holiness. Teach us by means of your word that it is better to be a separate people than a mixed people. Mixture in the eyes of the Lord is no good. Help us, Lord, while the rest of the world is mixing and mixing and mixing, keep your people separate and holy. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Half-baked Christians, half-baked churches. Yesterday we talked a little bit about who is this Ephraim in the text. Is the Ephraim referred to in Hosea 7:8? Is he a person, tribe, or is this name Ephraim representative of God's people? And we concluded that it is the latter, that the name Ephraim refers to God's covenant people. Just like when the Bible speaks of Israel, the nation of Israel, that's referring to all 12 tribes. So here Ephraim is when you say Ephraim, it's referring to the people of God as a whole. I also, in your outline, provided you the definition for Ephraim from Robert Harker's Poor Man's Concordance and Dictionary to the Sacred Scriptures, and also John Brown's Dictionary of the Holy Bible. I hope and pray that you read those definitions and that you looked at the scripture references. So again, we talked about how Ephraim could be a person, he could be a tribe, or it could be referring to God's people as a whole, and we concluded yesterday that it is the latter. All right, now today, we want to look at Ephraim. We want to continue our study with Ephraim, and we're going to begin with the first Ephraim. We're going to start talking about the first Ephraim and what was so unique about the first Ephraim, and how this first Ephraim, from which the tribe takes its name, and later on from which the nation of Israel takes its name, we want to see this first Ephraim, what he was all about. Because it's going to give us a greater understanding as to why God is disappointed that he became mixed, and God was descriptive of him, saying he was a cake not turned. All right, so Tuesday, May 24th, we're looking at Ephraim. He was the half-son of Egypt. The half-son of Egypt. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, Ephraim originally was a mixed. He was a mixed breed. He was a boy of mixed breed. His mother was Egyptian. His father was Hebrew. And as a result of having an Egyptian mother and a Hebrew father, he was of mixed ethnicity. In addition to that, the Egyptians had their many gods and their unique religion, and the Hebrews had their one God and their religion. Therefore, when you mixed Ephraim, when of course he came from an Egyptian mother and a Hebrew father, the potential of mixture, not just of race, or excuse me, not just of ethnicity, because there's only one human race. The mixture of ethnicity was right there. And as a result, the potential of the mixture of religion. Now, let's establish this. Let's go to Genesis 41. Genesis 41, 50 and 51 and 52. It says, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bared unto him." Now this young lady, Asenath, her name means she belongs to Neph. Neph was a goddess of the Egyptians. So obviously, if her father was priest of On, or priest of the sun god, when his daughter was born, he no doubt dedicated her to the goddess Neph. So as you can see there, she was raised in the sacred religion, if you will, of the Egyptians. She was neck deep in Egyptian religion and gods. And so this is the woman who becomes Joseph's wife. She no doubt was a gift to Joseph when Pharaoh elevated Joseph. No doubt, he gave Joseph this young lady as his wife in marriage. And this was done in order to get Joseph accustomed to the ways of Egypt. It was an arranged marriage, along with the title of prime minister that Pharaoh gave to Joseph, along with the title and the privileges and the perks that came along with that, there also came an arranged marriage. And this Asenath was the daughter of Potipharah, who was the chief priest over there at On, or another word for On is Hierapolis. Hiero, meaning the city, the holy city. This is where the Egyptian gods were worshipped. And of course, so here you have a young lady who was raised in the Egyptian cult. She happens to be Egyptian herself. Her father runs the place. Her father runs the religion of Egypt for Pharaoh. And Ephraim's father is Hebrew. Hebrew marrying an Egyptian, right there, ethnic mixture. But don't forget that spiritual element also, that Egyptian religion and that Hebrew religion clashing. There's mixture there. Okay, so now, he's half son of Egypt from his mother's side. Now, as Ephraim has children and his children become a family or a clan, later on, his descendants come out of Egypt. They come out of Egypt. So, let's read Exodus chapter 1. Exodus 1. Before they can come out of Egypt, they have to go into Egypt. So here's a record of how the children of Israel got into Egypt. And of course, there was a famine in the days of Jacob and in the days of Joseph. Joseph was prime minister of Egypt. There was corn in Egypt. There was food to be had in Egypt. The rest of the Middle East is starving. And so Jacob and his sons go down there to get what they need, their provisions, and they land in Egypt. So let's read Exodus 1, verses 1 through 5. Now these are the names of the children of Israel. Israel is Jacob, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Which man and which household? Well, the man Reuben and his household, Simeon and his household, Levi and Judah and their households, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Remember, he went ahead. His brothers sold him into slavery to some traveling Midianites, and then the Midianites sold them to the Egyptians, and that's how Joseph landed in Egypt. And by the time Jacob comes around and his other sons come around, Jacob and his two boys, or rather Joseph, excuse me, and his two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, are already there. So Jacob and his sons move into Egypt. And this opening, these opening verses in Exodus 1 tell us how they got there. Now, in Exodus 12, let's go to Exodus 12, verse 40 and 41. Let's read, how long did it take for them to come out of Egypt? Because in chapter 1, it tells us how they got into Egypt, but in chapter 12, it tells us when they came out. It says in chapter 12, verse 40 and 41, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So who is the host of the Lord? Well, again, they are, and let me rip them to you again, they are the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Zebulun, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Dan, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Asher, in addition to Joseph's two sons, which are the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Ephraim. That rounds out the 12 tribes. So notice, Ephraim starts out as half-son of Egypt through his mother. At the very beginning of his existence, he enters into the world with mixture, ethnic mixture, religious mixture. By the end of the book, or at the middle of the book, excuse me, chapter 12, Ephraim, Manasseh, and all the other tribes come out of mixture. God does not want his people to remain in mixture. Now notice that. We said all of that. We did the little history there just to show you, yes, he starts with mixture. And God allowed it. You know, God allowed Joseph to marry this Egyptian woman. She was a gift to him from Pharaoh. You know, when, I mean, that's how they get you. That, you know, that's the way nations in the past signed peace treaties. They give their, one king gives his son in marriage to another king's daughter. And since now they're family, they don't fight. Well, Pharaoh gives Joseph an Egyptian handmaid to wife in hopes that Joseph would remain loyal to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's agenda. But it's mixture. And that's what happens, my brothers and sisters. We don't live in a perfect world. There's mixture. Sin causes mixture. What sin? Well, didn't Joseph's brothers sell him? That's a sin. They sold him into slavery. And Joseph is in Egypt and he has no rights. You see, there are consequences to sin. It's not just the first act of sin and that consequence, but there is a domino effect all the way down. And all of this is what? Mixture. What could Joseph do but say, thank you, Pharaoh, for the wife you're giving me? She was a cultured, sophisticated young lady. Yes, Egyptian. Yes, serving false gods, absolutely. But refined and cultured. Because those are the only kinds of people that could come into the Egyptian palace and the Egyptian court or even dare to come before the Egyptian gods. So right from the beginning, Ephraim is mixed. But by the middle of the book of Exodus, as God brings his people out, he brings them out of mixture. No longer will they view the worship of Egypt and the gods of Egypt and the sacrifices made to the Egyptian gods. God is pulling them out to be a separate people, holy unto him. Now, we see here in the text that God says, Ephraim, he have mixed himself among the people. So God took him out, but, you know, God took him out of the mud. And down the line, he jumped back in it. That's what the text is referring to. And we can only understand that if we can just go a little bit back and talk about the first Ephraim and how he came into existence and what circumstances produced his birth. Now, one last thing. If you recall yesterday, we talked about how Jacob on his deathbed prayed for Joseph's two sons. Manasseh was the firstborn and Ephraim was the secondborn, was the second son. He had two sons. And how Jacob crisscrossed his hands and he took his right hand, which was supposed to be placed on the head of the firstborn. He took his right hand and crossed it over the left hand and put his right hand on the head of Ephraim. And Joseph says, no, my father, you got it. You're mixed up. You're confused. You got your hand on the wrong head. And his father says, no, I don't. This is God. This is God's doing. So what happens? God elects or chooses the secondborn over the firstborn. Now, this is a pattern with God. Now, you remember that the man laying hands on the two boys is a twin. His name is Jacob. He too was the second born, and God picked him. The one trying to correct the father, Joseph, he's trying to correct it. He says, you got it wrong, Papa. And he says, no, I got it right. I'm hearing God. I'm hearing what God is saying in the spirit. Joseph was the 11th born. So notice, this is a pattern with God. In the world, it's always about the firstborn this, the firstborn that. But in the kingdom of God, it's about election. So, who does God pick over Esau? He picks Jacob. Who does God pick over Reuben? He picks Joseph. Who does God pick over Manasseh? He picks Ephraim. And now notice, when God picks you, when God elects you for service, when God picks you from among your brethren, like he picked David, the shepherd boy, over his other 7 brothers. Remember, the prophet Samuel came to the house and said, present to me your sons, Jesse. And Jesse paraded before Samuel 7 sons. And he says, let's try it again, because the Lord's not indicating that any of them are here. And he parades them a second time. And Samuel says, hey, something's not right here. Do you have another son? Oh, yeah, he's taking care of the sheep. He's the runt. But we don't think much of him. That's why I didn't invite him here. He says, go get him. And it's son number 8. That God elects. So here's another thing I want you to take away. Here is a man, here is Ephraim, elected of God, chosen of God, and not just him, but his tribe, his descendants, chosen of God to lead the nation, and thus that's why the nation is called Ephraim. And yet this elect group chooses to get into the mud. You see, my brothers and sisters, you have to appreciate your heritage. You got to know your history. My history flows through my grandmother. My grandmother was a saintly woman. For me to get mixed up today, for me to mix with the wrong people today and get my head mixed up and get my theology mixed up, is to do a dishonor to my grandmother. Ephraim, he had mixed himself after God had separated him. We're going to leave it there. I want you to ponder that and think about that. We'll be back tomorrow. This is getting good. This is getting real good. Don't forget tonight, in just an hour, we have prayer. Oh, I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait. When I get off now, I'm going to be calling some people, reminding them, don't forget the prayer meeting. There is power in numbers. There is power in unity. There is power when we come and we have what Jonathan Edwards, the great revivalist, called a concert of prayer. A concert. We're going to have a concert. Now, it's not singing. We're not singing. But the concert, see, prayer is music to God's ears, because all the prayers are going up. And God is saying, amen. I am well pleased with everything that's being said before me. So in just a few hours, just an hour and a half, we're having our concert of prayer. Join us tonight. God bless you. Love you. It's my honor to serve you. Oh, I love this. I love this. See you in a little while. God bless.